Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can reach out and reach into the studio right now and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, something you can't quite understand, or if you're dealing with some issue at home, in the family, whatever the situation might be, and you'd like to talk about it, well, now's the time to call. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley joins us today. And I thought, guys, as we started out the program, you know, today is day two of the impeachment trial. Yes. And certainly as believers, you know, we have an opportunity and a privilege to be praying for our leaders. We see this all throughout the New Testament. For example, in 1 Timothy, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And, you know, as this trial, you know, happens and unfolds, and we see, you know, the political theater that's happening and the partisanship that's going on. You know, I really think that's a call for us as believers to be praying for those who are in authority, be praying for those who are leading this government. But understanding that there's a purpose in that so that we can continue to have our voice in making the real Savior known unto man, and that's Jesus Christ himself, and to put forth God's desire that all men come to know him and all men come to repentance and experience new life in Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He's the one that we should be putting forth out there in the world today. And I think sometimes with all this political theater, we get drawn into it, and we get blinded to really what God is calling us to be in this world today as believers in Christ.
Yes, we do have a calling. I mean, the Bible tells us in the New Testament to pray for those, respect those in leadership. We're citizens. I mean, we're blessed. I mean, how blessed are we that we have a voice, that we can cast a vote, that we get to play a role in deciding who our leaders are here in North America, in the United States, and for those listening in Canada and around the world. Some people are blessed like we are, but not everyone is. And so, Bob, you're right. We see a conflict very much. We see tons of division in our political system. I would say, at least in my view, more than we have ever seen in decades and decades and decades. So we're on the precipice of really a place of hatred in this nation if we're not careful, one group hating another. And the answer to that is Jesus Christ, and to recognize that he's the one that has poured his love in our hearts. He's the one that is love. God is love. And if we're going to continue to build an identity around ourselves that is related to our governmental opinions, then we're going to have a shallow identity, and we're going to resent and hate and despise other people. At least we're going to act that way if we continue in a false identity. So the real answer is to recognize that the gospel is thousands of years old. Our nation is as wonderful as it is. It is hundreds of years old. And the gospel is where we get our identity, in Christ, from him. And as we recognize that, then we can pray for our leaders, no matter who they are. 4 years ago, 8 years years ago or now, no matter our opinions, we can pray for them and, you know, respect them ultimately so that we don't have an atmosphere of chaos and rebellion and hatred. That's not good for anybody. And so the bottom line is Jesus Christ is the answer to this problem as well as any.
Yes, indeed. And so as you're listening to the broadcast today and you're knowing what's going on in Washington, D.C., be praying for those that are in authority. Be praying for this country. But more than anything, be praying that those who are in Christ will continue to do the good work of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ and lifting up him as the man, the mediator between God and man.
Absolutely.
And I just can't encourage you enough to allow this passage in 1 Timothy to really set your priorities as a believer in Christ.
Notes from Paul, and those are wonderful.
Yes, indeed.
It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley joins us. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for being with us, everybody. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. If you have a question you'd like to pose, if you have a particular situation, well, give us a call. If you're hearing the broadcast at about 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and as I said earlier, you can reach out and reach right into the studio right now at 844-322-2742.
Well, Bob, thanks. We're going to go to our phone lines and talk with Clay, listening to us down in Thorndale, Texas. Hi, Clay.
Hey, Clay.
Hey, Bob and Andrew. Hey, I want to preface my question with just about a 15-second little experience I had. Every month we have a men's meeting at a church building that has a cemetery to the outside of it, and we stand outside and cook the food, and this guy, he always makes the same joke. He says, how many people are dead in that cemetery? And before anybody could answer, I said, well, they're not all dead, okay? Because, you know, this is a believer. I said, some of them may be dead, but a lot of them are asleep, okay? Because they were dead in Christ and absent from the body and present with the Lord. And so my question to you, in 1 Corinthians 15 and in Thessalonians 4, where it talks about them being asleep, and then all of a sudden he said the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive and remain will go to meet them in the air. You know how Paul says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. Okay, what I believe is that the ones that are the dead in Christ will rise first, okay? And even the ones that are alive and remain, they're the same too. They're dead in Christ as well. Just see what if you want to comment on that.
Well, I mean, Clay, my take on that is that, you know, when you're asleep, let's say you've been sleeping an hour or sleeping a day or sleeping just a few hours, regardless of the time you've been asleep, when you awaken, it feels like just a moment. I mean, you don't feel any time pass when you're asleep. And so my take is, here we are on planet Earth. We've got a wristwatch on our arm. We've got a clock on the wall. We've got a 24-hour day. We've got 365 days in a year. This is God has invented time for us. And so if I pass away in the next 5 minutes, if I die physically, I believe that I'm going to exit this planet and exit time as we know it. And then the question is, where do I enter? Where do I enter eternity? At what point, so to speak? Well, I don't understand the physics of all of that, but I wouldn't be surprised if we awaken to the sound of the trumpet, every single one of us. So whether I'm, asleep for 10 seconds or 10 minutes, or whether it's a flash, and I would lean toward the flash, but my point is, we exit time and enter eternity, and I don't think we're in a holding tank. I don't think we're sitting in the bosom of Abraham somewhere for thousands of years. I don't think we're circling heaven's airport trying to land at the appropriate time. I really believe that because we're one with Christ and because we are created body, soul, and spirit, that God does not have us floating around as bodiless spirits, that he doesn't have us, as a spirit-only type critter laying in a holding tank waiting for final resurrection. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, as you quoted from the Apostle Paul. So When you put it all together, I say, let's let it be a little bit mysterious. Let's admit that the finiteness of our human intellect can't comprehend eternity, but we can say that if I'm out of this body, then I am in the presence of the Lord, and being in His presence requires a spiritual body, a resurrection body like Jesus had as He ascended. So I don't think we're going to feel a bit. I think it's very much like falling asleep in a nap and waking up from it and feeling like 1 second went by, and that we're created as humans and we'll still be human in heaven. We'll be resurrection humans with a body. And so, you know, Bob, I'd like to hear your thoughts, but I don't buy into the idea of a delay.
Well, I mean, I think the Word of God talks about Christ coming back, and I think that's going to be an event in time and space that we're going to see Him, and something's going to happen at that time. And again, how you put all this together with time and eternity intersecting one another, I think that's beyond our kind of real understanding. All we know is that at a point in time, just as Jesus came the first time, He entered into time and space at just the right time, as Galatians says. I think He's going to come again, and something's going to happen when He comes again, and that's what we're expecting, when all things are going to be made right, and we're going to but that's the time side of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the word of God kind of spells it out in kind of the time side of it for us humans to be able to understand it a little bit and get a view of it. But there will be a time when Jesus comes back, and that's going to be exciting for all of us.
Amen.
Hey, Bob, let me just say real quick what gives me peace. See, I'm present with the Lord right now. The Holy person of the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, okay? To be absent from my body, nothing changes. My spirit and soul to go be present with Jesus then, and my body is asleep only, okay? And then at the last trumpet, okay, it's asleep and caught up. The ones that are dead, I was dead before I received His life. That picture I gave you of the cemetery, are not present with the Lord, you see, in this life or after. Does that make sense?
I mean, my take on that, Clay, is that we're never apart from our bodies, and that I don't think it's saying that bodies will raise. It's saying that people will raise. And so I don't think that the body that's 1,500 years old, that is now nothing but dust and ash, has to be recomposed by God in order to give us a resurrection body. I think we have a new body. We have a body that is like Jesus's body. So, you know, I think we have to leave a bit of mystery in here, but I would just say that it's not bodies that are raised, it's people that are raised. And so that's why, to me, the whole thing is mysterious, and we have to say, well, then when am I raised? Well, I'm raised 1 split second after I die. And you say, well, wait a minute, but that's not today. Christ isn't coming back today. And I would say, exactly, I know it's a mystery, but I enter into eternity. And so God's not limited. I would just say we can't limit God in this. A day is like 1,000 years. And so maybe that understanding comforts us a bit.
But read about the witch of Endor and Samuel, and he said, why did you bring me up from my slumber? Okay, mm-hmm. I can see where you're going with that, and we can't go into that today. I wanted to hear what you say, but we differ a little bit on it.
But we might. I would say that's an unbeliever.
It's a menace, but you know, the end, it's all going to pan out, won't it?
Right, yeah, it's an unbeliever
there.
And
the exclamation point the Word of God says is that we're going to be with the Lord. We are going to have resurrection bodies, just as Jesus has a resurrection body. We're going to have that, and that's all built into this great gospel message, and that becomes our hope. And so, like, I did a funeral this past weekend, and that funeral, because people were in Christ, was blanketed in the hope of the gospel, and so they could rejoice that they knew where their loved one was and who their loved one was with. And that's the big deal, that the loved one was with Jesus. So, Clay, thank you. Thanks for your call. Always love to talk through these things with you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Good to hear from you, Clay. Well, we have plenty of open lines and time on the clock, friends. 844-322-2742 is the number to call, both in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Friends, we put the messages from Bob Christopher's Top 10 series into a CD series that we would like to send to you to say thank you for your gift of love and support for Basic Gospel in January. Bob, talk to our listeners a little bit about the importance of supporting the ministry and what they can expect out of the series.
Well, everybody needs encouragement in life. Everybody needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you're a listener of the program, and one of the reasons you tune into the program is so you can get that daily encouragement, it's going to benefit you to keep the program going so that you can continue to get daily input on the grace of God and really understanding what it means to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ and standing in the righteousness that you have and all of these things that are given to you by grace. So there's a great benefit in continuing to support the broadcast so you can continue to get the daily encouragement, and then to think beyond yourself that there's other people that need encouraged as well. So you can be a difference maker in bringing encouragement to them and bringing the love and grace of God to them and helping connect them to the love of Jesus Christ as the gospel message connected you to the love of Jesus Christ. So we would love for you to join with us, to partner with Basic Gospel. And we have a great resource this month that is going to help you grow in the grace of God. And that's my top 10 favorite passages. And I think we call it the top 10.
Right.
And these are the passages God used in my life to really open my eyes to see the grace of God, to help me grow in the grace of God, and to grow in my knowledge of Jesus Christ. These were life-changing passages for me, and we want to put this series in your hands to be an encouragement to you, to help you grow in grace, and so that you can be an encouragement to others.
Well, the top 10 will be coming to you as you make your donation to support Basic Gospel this month, and you can do that right now or anytime at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll partner with us, friends. This message needs to get out far and wide, and we hope you'll be a part of seeing that happen. Again, donate to now, right now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, we had this call that came in overnight. Actually, we have a call that came in from a YouTube viewer just a few moments ago. Let's get to that first. In John 5:25, is Jesus referring to unbelievers who acknowledge his call and believe? First, I thought he meant physically dead believers will live when we hear his voice. Is he talking about both, however?
Great question. Yeah, we're in John chapter 5, and just get a little context here, guys. It says this. It says, Jesus gave them this answer, "Verily I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself." He says, "The Father loves the Son." He says, "Just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, moreover, the Father judges no one. He's entrusted all judgment to the Son." And then he says, "A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." He says, is that physically dead? Is that spiritually dead? What is going on there? Well, clearly, this is a time period where the gospel is being unleashed. There is a message of death and resurrection. It's a benefit right here, right now. It's not just about life in heaven. We were talking about heaven earlier and how glorious that's going to be. But this is a proclamation that if you hear the message of Jesus Christ and you put your trust in him and you recognize that he is Lord and he is God and that he rose from the dead and that he has power over sin and death and that he has power to give you life, well, you can receive that life right here and right now. So eternal life begins now. This was a message for the people of that day, and it is beautiful to be able to have that to future with Christ, but we have the present with Christ. His life is our life. When Paul says, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me," when he says Christ is our life, He is talking about a present hope, a present union, a bonding of the life of God together with us. We're born of the Spirit. We're born of God. We're born again. And Bob, that eternal life begins right now. That's what gives us the newness in our heart, the newness in our spirit, new passions, new desires, and most importantly, our unitedness with Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, John kind of keeps this theme going in his first letter, and he talks about the love of God and the fact that we're abiding in Christ, living in Christ. We've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. And he says this gives us the confidence on the day of judgment, the fact that we have already crossed over from death to life. There's absolutely nothing to fear. There is no fear in love. Fear cast out, I mean, love cast out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. When we respond to this gospel message, we cross over from death to life right now, and that life is ours eternally because it's his life that's been given to us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for those thoughts. That is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley joins us. My name is Bob Davis, and we'd love for you to join us with a phone call at 844-322-2742. We had this call, guys, that came in overnight.
Hey, this is Jordan, and I was calling to ask you guys a question. I wanted to ask, I've been reading in the Word and stuff, and just I've came across some verses that had struck me odd about women preaching in the church and about women being leaders in the church. You know, I was wondering what your guys' thoughts was on that.
Well, Jordan, thanks for opening up a can of worms.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's a hot topic, isn't it, Andrew?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you and I were chatting about this just before the broadcast, and there's so many opinions out there and so many thoughts, and you have to at least land on a few certain truths, and that is that in the New Testament, there were female leaders. We see deaconesses. We see in Romans a female messenger of the gospel. It is pretty clear that women over the ages have played a role in sharing this gospel message. And you say, well, okay, wait a minute. If that's true, then what is Paul saying to this pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2? Because he says, I don't want a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. So you say, well, Paul, is that every woman for all of time? Anytime they get in a church building, they have to clam up, bite their lip, and not say anything? No leading, no teaching, no helping, no serving, using any verbal sharing of the gospel? Well, I don't think so, guys. And here's why. Because in this same passage, he is clarifying two or three important things. He says, Adam was created first, then Eve. And you say, well, duh, we knew that. And then he says, Adam was not the one deceived, it was the woman. And you say, well, we knew that too. And then he says the most peculiar thing of all, he says, women will be saved through childbearing. And you go, wait a minute, I thought we were saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, not through childbearing. So what's he talking about? Well, it turns out there are three heresies or three false belief systems that Paul is fighting against. And he's saying, Timothy, don't let your church be overrun by these women who seem to be a part of this cult of the worship of the goddess Diana. They're teaching things like women should never bear children. Women shouldn't bother getting married. That's a useless life. He says this false teaching included that Eve was created first and Adam second, and that Eve was smarter than Adam. So that's what Paul is doing. He's saying, no, Eve wasn't smarter. She was deceived. Adam was created first, then Eve. Don't get it backwards. And lastly, look, bearing children and having a life that involves family, that is a worthwhile endeavor if Jesus is in it. So he is talking about a specific group of women that really need to stop perpetuating those lies.
Jordan, hope that's a help to you. Hope you're listening, and reach out if you have further questions. Andrew, thank you for the clarity of that answer. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a question, leave us a voicemail overnight at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And once again, thanks to everyone who supports this ministry with your love, your prayers, and with your gifts. And in January, when you make your gift, as we've said, we'd like to say thanks for standing with us by sending you a copy of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages, a wonderful CD that we have for you, our listeners. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.